Hello, everyone. Welcome to our webinar this week. I already see 90 people here, which is crazy. I feel like that might be a record.
I'm obsessed. Hi, everyone.
All right. I'm going to get us started because we have a lot of really good copywriting formula tips to talk about today. So let's get started today. First off, if this is your first time ever hearing the name Hey Orca or joining one of our webinars, I just wanted to give a quick little explanation of who we are. We are the social media scheduler for teams and agencies, and we're here to assist you with all your social media scheduling must-haves, and we have unlimited users. This is our cute little team from a St. John's meetup last year. I realize now we should probably update this with our most recent IRL meetup. And one really cool new feature that is currently live at Hey Orca is that we can now hide draft posts in the app. So you can do it on a post level or you can do it on a calendar level. And the reason that this is super exciting is that if you have content that you just don't want your clients or your boss or whoever to see, you can hide it really easily. We noticed that a lot of social media managers were using were storing their draft content on other sheets of some sort. Now you can just put it all in one place, hide the post, unhide it when you're ready. Super, super easy. I know I've already started to use the feature, and this was a really highly requested feature in general from our customers. So I'm very excited that it's now live.
I'm obsessed with this feature. And to my knowledge, I think, don't quote me, that Hey Orca might be like one of the only schedulers that has this. So yay for us. But yeah, people are finding it really helpful. So I love that.
So I am Jessie. I'm the director of marketing at Hey Orca. I've been here for over a year now, which is very exciting. And I'm based here in Montreal. So, oh, I'm seeing more Montreal comments. Love that. And I'll pass it over to you, Lyle.
Nice. I'm Lyle. I'm the copywriter here at Hey Orca. Normally, I am calling in from Halifax, but today I am in Brantford, Ontario. I have not seen anyone from Brantford in the chat, but shout out if you're from there. Excited to be spending some time in Ontario and also excited to share some formulas with you. Hopefully, you can walk away from this session with some inspiration for your next post or ad or video script, whatever it is that you're writing. Today, our agenda is so simple, you guys. We're going to go over 5 really easy, you've probably seen them before, copywriting formulas, and then take a look at some examples for inspiration. And then provided we have time, we'll do some questions and answers, and I will do my very best to get answers for you. No promises, but like, I think we'll be good. We'll have a good time. Okay, so without further ado, and today we're just going to look at some formulas. Where can you use these formulas? You should be able to use them in organic posts, social media ads, video scripts, and anything else that you write. So like if you're writing emails, you can use these, or if you're writing, I don't know, landing pages, you can use them. You can apply these formulas to anything. So the first one, and you may have seen it before, is problem, agitate, solution. So for all our Swifties, that's for you. I'm the problem. It's me. But that's maybe how you can remember it. So let's take a look at how it works. For this one, it might work for you. You don't have to like think about it this way, but I like to think about it as kind of like a little bit of a reverse stoplight. You're going to start with the problem. That's kind of like the yellow zone. And then you're going to make it a little bit worse and go into the red zone. So yellow to red and then beautiful green, everything's happy again. So start with the problem as your hook. So you're going to hook your reader by calling out a big problem that they want to solve, or maybe you introduce a problem that they're actually not aware of yet. And then you're going to make it feel a little bit more, a little bit worse, make them concerned about this problem. So in the agitate section, you want to help your reader understand like how concerning this is, and maybe it's an urgent problem that they should solve. So why is the problem worth solving, and what are the consequences of not solving it? And then your solution. Encourage your reader to breathe a big sigh of relief by revealing your amazing solution, which is your offer, of course, whether it's a product or service or whatever it is you have to offer them. That's your solution. But if you're sort of doing these in a different order, that's also okay. And it might actually look similar to some other formulas that we'll go over. So just stay tuned. Okay, so let's take a look at this formula in action. Here is a little example I pulled from Watermark, which is a social media agency. Shout out if any of you guys are in the chat. I love your work. I pulled this example because I think it's an example of this formula in action, but it feels still very friendly and approachable. So you're agitating the problem, but you're not making the reader feel like, oh my gosh, I'm going to pull my hair out kind of thing, which you can do, but you don't need to. So let's read it together. The problem, the hook at the top, this caption was paired with a video about filming social media content. So that's the context. And the person in the video feels like all sorts of awkward about starring in the video and filming the video, because it is, of course, like can be an uncomfortable experience if you're new to it. So here's the hook. Who else feels this way when behind or in front of a camera? That's the problem. Beautiful. Then they're going to agitate it a little bit and validate the reader's concerns about this problem. So they say, we totally get it. It can be very intimidating to act natural when the camera is pointing at you. So now I feel like, okay, this is a real problem and I do want to do something about this. So then they jump into the solution, which is, we make sure your experience isn't traumatizing. We keep it fun and relaxing at our content shoots. And then they jump into their CTA. So I like this because, like I said, it's still approachable and friendly. It doesn't make you feel too bad, but it does validate that problem and that concern. I think that, yeah, like you can take these formulas and run with them and do whatever you want, really. These are like a stepping stone. Personally, I find that like, yeah, if you want to include a why, I would stick it. I don't think you can see my cursor, but I'm hovering over the agitate section. I would sort of blend it into that section. Okay, let's look at a video example of problem agitate solution. This video I pulled, we won't watch the whole thing, but I pulled it because I think it's a good example of being like a little bit more aggressive with the agitate. So
if your moisturizer is making your face sting, honey, that's not a good thing. There's usually two reasons for this. First is you have a damaged skin barrier. Second is that you're using products that have harsh ingredients like fragrance and dyes. In my case, I react to both of those circumstances. So these are my top three moisturizers that no matter what state my skin is in, it does not react. It helps restore my skin barrier without stinging. First one is Skin Fixes.
Okay, so like I said, we're not gonna watch the whole thing, but you can kind of get the gist of it. So if we take a look at this, the problem is moisturizer shouldn't make your face sting. This might be new information for some viewers. Like personally, I thought, oh, if it's stinging, it's really working. It's active ingredients. But now I'm educated. Maybe that's not the case. And then she agitates that problem by covering two potential causes. So one is you might have a damaged skin barrier, which makes me think, ooh, I should be concerned. And you might be using ingredients that are too harsh, which is also a concern and makes me think, okay, this is a real problem and it needs to be solved. And then, of course, she offers a solution. And in this case, it's her three favorite products to solve the issue. If you're not a content creator, this might look slightly different for you. Maybe you just have one product that you're offering as a brand that could solve this issue, or three from your collection. So obviously you can do with it what makes sense for your brand. Here is another example. This one is, of course, much longer, but I'm trying to put in some examples here from different industries so you can get some better inspiration. So this one is from a realtor. And the problem section there in the yellow or the orange is a little bit longer. So she says, thinking about buying a home in Hawaii with a catchment system, here's something you might not know. If you're going for a government loan, like a FHA or VA, the water will need to pass a test to show it's safe to drink. So I might not have been aware, because I actually am not looking for a house in Hawaii, that this is a problem. And then she agitates the problem by saying, catchment systems are great because they collect rainwater from your roof. But the catch is that sometimes the water can have E. coli, in parentheses, ask us why we know so much about E. coli, LOL. I thought that was funny. If it's present, you won't pass the test. And then immediately, she's got a solution. So don't worry. The fix, a UV filtration system, which kills the bacteria and makes the water good to go. And she goes on about the filtration system. I think this is a good example because she is a realtor. She's not selling you the filtration system, to my knowledge, but she is selling her expertise. So you can use this formula to educate your community about your industry or things that are relevant for you as a brand, but you don't necessarily have to be like, buy my item, buy my service, book a call with me now. You can really use this formula to like nurture your community. So let's move on.
I think it depends also on your industry. In my case, a wheelchair company, we do explain a bit more of the why and the clinical reasons why our solution is good for them.
And also, if you have any specific examples from your industry that you would like, or if you want to see more examples from a specific industry, please do let us know. You can message us, send us an email, go on Instagram and message us, because we're always looking for examples to sort of like help everyone. Okay, so let's look at before after bridge. This one starts a little bit similar, but then it's also a little different. So there's also three components. First is the before. So what does life look like before someone uses your product or service? So you want to help your reader picture again their problem. So it might look a little bit similar at the top, but instead of agitating that problem, you want to immediately make them feel really super good. So before is kind of bad. And then, ooh, I feel so much better, because you want to paint a picture of the after. So you want to jump right into the future and paint a picture of what life looks like after someone uses your product or service. So this should make them, like I say here on the screen, feel all sorts of good vibes. And then you want to reveal your bridge, which is what is the transformative thing that made this transformation possible. And in most cases, that's going to be your offer. So let's take a look at a example. Now, I will preface this example by saying I'm not the target audience of this this ad, but it uses the formula very well. So I think there's still something we can learn from it. It's got a little bit of a bro vibe, but I'm kind of with it. This is for like this brand is selling training for how to start a auto detailing business. So the before is, stuck in a 9-to-5 you hate, tired of clocking in just to make someone else richer while you feel stuck. If I'm someone that feels this way, it's really got my attention because it knows how I'm feeling, you know? Don't worry, everything's better. They jump right into the after, which is, let's look into the future. What if you could turn your passion for cars into a thriving business? Starting a car detailing business could be your way out. It's not just about washing cars. It's about transforming vehicles and getting paid well for it. Plus, you get to call the shots, set your own hours, and build something of your own. With demand higher than ever, people are willing to pay top dollar to keep their cars in perfect condition. Okay, that seems like a much better future than the before. So they'll move right into the bridge, which is what's going to make this possible. And I won't read the whole thing, but it's basically training. I'll show you how to start with minimal investment, find clients quickly, set up a business, et cetera, et cetera. Before, after, bridge. And let's take a look at a video. And this time I will hopefully be much faster at getting it set up for you guys.
Before I started my business, I was scared. I have a nursing degree. I don't know the first thing about business, marketing. How do I build a website? There was a lot of those, how am I going to do this? Honestly, the hardest part is taking the first step. Once you take that first step, then all the other steps kind of fall into place and it's easier to walk. And then soon enough, you're going to start running the first one. And then you're sprinting. I'm thankful that I didn't give up, because there were definitely days where it was easy to not do it. But you don't know what beautiful things are on the horizon if you don't start.
So I pulled that example to hopefully illustrate that you don't necessarily have to use or complete the formula. You don't have to use every single step. This video, I think, was impactful, but it really only used before and after. So before, she's scared to start her business, and after, she is running a beautiful business, and we love that for her. But she didn't really mention the bridge. What I think is important to note here is that this video was posted on Shopify's account. So as a viewer, I can infer that Shopify most likely had something to do with it, most likely is part of that bridge. But you don't always have to say it out loud or write it in your copy. So of course, you have the option to do before, after, and include the bridge, but you don't necessarily have to. You can make it your own. Let's move on to promise, picture, proof, push, the four P's. And if you're confused, I included the picture of the peas because it's the four peas. But if you don't think that's funny, I'm so sorry. I thought it was hilarious. Okay, back to business. The four P's. So this one is good, especially if you have, if you're trying to share a case study, or if you have really good data to share, this might be one that you choose. So first, you're going to start with your promise, which is basically a punchy hook that communicates what the heck you promise to do for your community. So it could be the main benefit or a transformation that you can help achieve for your community members. What the heck is your product or service promising to deliver? And then you move into the picture, which is painting a picture of what the reader's future could look like. How will your product or service change their world? And then here's where you prove it, because people are skeptical. So you want to be able to prove that you can actually deliver on your promise. So this is where, like, if you have data stats to share, you can stick them in here. And then push, which is, what do you want your reader to do next? This is your CTA. The interesting thing here is, like, your CTA could be buy this thing now, or shop now, or book a call, but it doesn't have to be. If you're writing an organic post, it can still be like, maybe your goal is engagement. So you ask a question. And that's what you want your audience to do next, is answer that question. So you don't have to, it's called push, but you don't have to be pushy. So hopefully that's clear. So I made up two very made up examples. So I just want to illustrate that you can write this, use this formula for an ad, but also use the formula for an organic post. So I pretended I am managing social for a wedding planner, and this is what I might do. So I start with the promise at the top, and I say, the biggest wedding industry myth, wedding planners are too expensive. So essentially this is the promise. It's a roundabout way of saying you can afford a wedding planner. The picture is, here's the truth. You can hire a planner without sacrificing stunning florals or your first choice caterer. So now I'm picturing, ooh, my first choice caterer. Okay. And my florals, my favorite colors, my favorite flowers. Okay. Like, that might be within reach. And then I'm going to prove it. We've helped 500 plus brides save up to 20% on their dream day because we have relationships with the top vendors in whatever location. And then push, because I'm pretending this is an ad, I might say, book a free consult with us today. And you know what's actually crazy? Because I am planning a wedding and I do not have a wedding planner. This is such a tangent. But apparently they can actually save you 20%. That was a real stat. I can't believe it. Anyway, so it is so personal to me. Yeah. okay. So what if I was writing for the same brand, but I'm writing an organic post using the same formula? This is what it might look like instead. Hiring a wedding planner may not be the luxurious expense you think it is. So again, I'm promising that, hey, a wedding planner might be within reach. The picture is, a good planner can get you discounts on preferred vendors and save you more than 200 hours, also a real stat, of stressful planning. So I'm picturing here, ooh, what can I do with all of my time that I've saved? The proof is, we've helped 500 plus budget conscious brides bring their dream day to life. Okay, I'm thinking maybe these people are credible. And then the push, because this is an organic post, I'm not going to ask them to book a consult, but I might say, what's one part of planning that you're stressing about right now? Leave it in the comments and we'll give you our best advice. So by doing this, my goal is to get engagement, of course, but also in responding to the comments to prove that I know what I'm talking about and I am an authority on the subject. I'm credible. So that's how I might structure an organic post using the four P's. Yes, I would love to see them in action. Please do tag us. And also, I'm so glad that people are finding like inspiration in these, because I'm in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, I know these formulas. But then when you take a closer look at them, you get, I don't know, some good content ideas come out. So I'm glad that it's working for people. Okay, let's take a look at attention, interest, desire, action. We did go over this formula briefly in our copywriting for ads webinar. So you might be familiar with it already, but we'll take a look at a different example because hopefully you'll learn something new from it. So this is how this formula works. First, it's attention. So you want to grab the the user's attention with a punchy hook. We all know about hooks, but if you need some inspo for hooks, we do have a blog on the best TikTok hooks to use. So you can check that out. And you don't have to use them just in TikTok videos. You can tweak them to work for whatever you're writing. And also we have some more hook inspiration in previous copywriting webinars. So again, shameless plug to check those out.
I'll add that link to our hooks blog in a second to our chat.
Amazing. Thank you. After you have hooked your audience, you're going to move into the interest piece, which is encouraging the user to continue reading your post or watching your video. You just want to You have their attention, so you want to keep it. So you want to think about making them sort of ponder things. What problem do you solve? Can you surprise the user with an interesting fact? You just want to keep their attention. And then you're going to move into the desire piece, which is really talking about their core desire. What do they really wish for or want to accomplish? You want to make them feel empowered to achieve this goal or this transformation. And then action, your CTA. And again, I sound like a broken record, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a direct CTA. If your goal is engagement, this can be a question to prompt engagement. So here is an example. I really like this one. It's a random ad for a med spa that I found. But you could use this same formula for an organic post or a video script as well. So the attention piece, the hook is, you're not actually sad. You self-care day. I'm like, when I read that, I was like, how do you know? Okay, you have my attention. And also, I'm quite happy, but I'm interested. Okay, so I thought that was a cute hook. And then the interest piece makes you think about things. So they ask, when was the last time you treated yourself to a little spa indulgence? I don't know, but now it's on my mind. If you have to think about it, then it's been too long. And then they move into desire. With the chilly weather creeping in, your skin is begging for some rejuvenation. Whether it's a hydrofacial, chemical peel, laser hair removal, or microneedling treatment, it's time to give your skin the TLC it deserves. So I like that they say you deserve this, essentially, and that your skin is begging for this rejuvenation. And then they move into action. So they say, what service are you planning to book with us next? Tell us in the comments. So something for engagement. But because this is an ad, they also have book now. So you would, of course, tweak this, make it your own. But there are options for the action piece.
Just one thing, Lyle, in the comments we say, or someone has asked, what is CTA? And a few people have answered, but I thought I would bring it up here as well. CTA is call to action. So the yellow section that Lyle has here on the slide.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you for asking that question, because we use too many acronyms and abbreviations. So thanks for asking. Okay. The next one is keep it simple, stupid. I'm not calling you stupid. No one here is stupid. Also, some people call this keep it short and sweet, keep it short and simple. It's KISS. It's whatever you want it to be. The gist is keep it nice and short. So for all my Office fans, yes, this is a little screenshot of a GIF from The Office. So shout out. I think you might already know what I'm going to say, but it's keep it short. Focus on one thing at a time and use the active voice when you can. So again, our very first copywriting webinar has some good tips on how to achieve the active voice and avoid the passive voice. So you can give that a watch. And it would also recommend taking out unnecessary words, which often include adverbs. So like effortlessly, easily, most of the time. I'm making up this number, but I'm going to say 98% of the time, you really don't need them. And if you take them out, your copy will be much shorter, much punchier, and much more effective. So I feel like every copywriting webinar, I always have an example from Anthropology. It's not just because I like their clothes, but they also, if you look at their ads, they are very consistent in using the keep it simple, stupid method. Their stuff is very, very short. And short is good really in all cases, but especially if you're in the e-com space, pay special attention to this copywriting formula. Okay, so I put little stars in what we should look at. Sorry if this is so small, but I'll read it out loud. So the one at the top, the body copy, they say après-ski never looks so chic. So it's just one sentence and it's so short, but it does a good job of appealing to the reader's core desire, which is to look chic. And don't we all want to look chic? But you'll also notice that they don't say, hey, we just dropped a après-ski collection and après-ski never looked so chic. They don't really talk about themselves. They talk to their reader and they address their reader's core desire. They also have a direct CTA. It's just three words, shop the drop. So short, but so clear. And then I also wanted to point out that clear and concise doesn't have to mean dull and boring. So if you can read it there, oh my gosh, it's so tiny. Sorry, guys. But the last descriptive text, it says, carve out some time to shop, which I thought was so cute because carve out, of course, is a skiing pun. So we love that for them. But that's just an example of being really clear and keeping things so short because you really don't have to go on and on. I wanted to point out like a general trend that we've been seeing with really short one sentence captions paired with video. I really like this. I'm going to call it a formula because the short caption doesn't compete with the video for attention. And of course, we're living in a video first world. Everything is including video now. Those short form videos are everywhere. So it's really interesting to pair a short caption with those videos because then they're not in competition. The short caption supports the video. But also, I would recommend trying a short caption with a video because it makes your main message so much easier to remember and hopefully then more shareable. So that's just something that you'll probably notice we're trying at Heyorka. Give it a try and let us know how it goes for you too.
We have a good question from Dawson. So loving this. Thank you for the compliment. I guess that's more towards Lyle. Any recommendations for a subtler format? Our UK clientele catch us out anytime we attempt to create a sales-based caption when using similar structures, and we have difficulty generating sales from our social posts or experience a low click-through rate.
Is there a specific formula? Like, I feel like it all comes down to the language that you use. Like if you notice the like watermarks post, like I said, is still very approachable and friendly. So I feel like if you follow these formulas, you just have to be careful about using words that don't feel too pushy or salesy. But you're also welcome to send us your stuff and I can look at like specific posts and try and get you some feedback.
We have another question, Lyle, from Emily, who says, I get stuck between wanting to create community with longer captions and writing shorter captions. Is it just balance when it comes to the type you are writing?
That is such a real, like, yeah, situation. But I would do both. Like, just because short caption with video seems to be doing well, doesn't mean that you should like totally take longer captions off your, like out of your strategy. I think there's definitely a balance that you can strike between them. And then also just look at like, what's your community? What feedback are they giving you about those posts? If you find that your short captions actually aren't getting the engagement that you would expect, then maybe your community is one that vibes better with a longer caption. So really just like listen to your community and hopefully they're giving you the feedback that you need. Awesome. Okay. I don't think there are any other questions, but keep them coming if you do have questions. Here's just a little slide. If you want to take a screenshot, you absolutely can to enter a giveaway that potentially might be happening. But you don't have to. So today we went over problem, agitate, solution, before, after, bridge, promise, picture, proof, push, attention, interest, desire, action, and keep it simple, stupid. And that is all the formulas that I have. Of course, there are so many other formulas out there in the world, but these are our faves at the moment.
Thank you all for being here. And thank you, Lyle, so much for sharing all of your copywriting tips.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And thanks, Jesse, for hosting.
For sure. Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend.